Well, hey, friends and family and Health Masters customers and listeners, all y'all, welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Welcome to 2026. We're here to keep you guys staying healthy, strong, and educated on all the different topics. Hope you guys had a fantastic New Year's and doing some fun fireworks stuff. And me and Hunter ended up going to the Islands of Adventure yesterday. We got some passes and rode a bunch of roller coasters till we didn't want to ride roller coasters anymore. So it was a fun day, good day off. Hope you guys had a fantastic New Year's. You stay healthy and strong, and you got all your fingers. We had some pretty cool stuff. One of my friends brought out a minigun Roman candle.
I've never seen anything like that before.
It was pretty cool. I mean, full rotating barrel with like eight different barrels on it. Roman, can you light that thing up? It's like 388 shots. And it's on a machine. It rotates. It was pretty slick.
Where did you find something?
He did. I was one. He found it at one of the shops over there in Cocoa Beach. They had a big firework display, and they had them.
Is it a one shot deal?
You rotate the barrel on. It's got a barrel, so it's like a hot barrel, like a 249. You just push the button, pull the barrel out, put a new one in, put a whole new eight rounder in there. And it spins, shooting everywhere. It keeps going and going. It was pretty slick. I'm not gonna lie. It was probably one of the coolest fireworks thing I've ever.
I've never seen that before.
Hunter thought it was a blast. So again, hope you guys are staying strong and healthy. Got a bunch of articles coming to you guys today to open up the new year with some health topics. And be sure to stay updated on the podcast platform, thebrowershow.com. We couldn't make it any easier than that. We're here to bring you guys the top-tier news every single day and get your updates. First name, last name, email, and sign up for the Brower Show and the Health Masters. The Health Masters newsletter will get you all the different sales specials and kits that we're going to be throwing together and some stuff we're going to talk about today. The Brower Show newsletter brings you the podcast right to your inbox every single day, so you don't have to look for it. Clicks there. And be sure on the website, or when you get to the shows, there's multiple platforms. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Gab, Spotify, Rumble, or right here on thebrowershow.com. So we're giving you guys every single opportunity and every way to be able to go in and get access to these shows. We're doing it for y'all. It's a lot of work. We continue to bring it together for y'all, so I appreciate the support on it, and thank you for the continued positive emails and all the feedback we're getting on the Health Masters, the bestsellers. You guys are putting a bunch of reviews together on everything. I appreciate that. We're going to be putting some sales together for some stuff here shortly, like I promised you I would. Just wanted to get through Christmas and the New Year's and get everything caught up, including on the CoQ10, which I still haven't got a review on that. And I don't know why, because I take that product, like, that is one of my number one staple products. I don't go just to keep my heart healthy.
It doesn't make you feel any different.
That's probably why. Mm-hmm. But however,
it's good for your heart.
I've also had more people take it, though. I have had feedback that it helps people with blood pressure, because it does. So, again, maybe that's the reason why it doesn't feel as much like the brain
food. Not making that claim, but, you know, it's a great product for your heart and for your heart muscle.
Yeah, the brain food's the one you really, I think, people actually feel. And it drops out the brain fog and helps out with energy and helps out with, you know, not cramping.
Well, you know, it's crazy to me because, I mean, here I am over the age of 30, and I have no...
True statement.
And
we're both over 30 now. Isn't that crazy how it works?
We're like brothers now.
I know. Age just finally just levels out at a certain point.
what did Dolph Lundgren say the other day? He's dating some girl, or he's married some girl who's 40 years younger than him. And he goes, in 100 years, we're all dead anyhow. Who cares?
Back to the earth we go.
That's what he said. I laughed when I read. But the truth of the matter is, if you're going to be here for an extended period of time, you might as well feel good.
Take care of yourself. Yeah. Extend it out as long as you can and enjoy yourself.
Well, you know, here's how I look at it. I know this is going to sound terrible, but I'm going to say it anyhow. And don't send me letters on this one, by the way. And here's one more thing. If you're going to ask me questions about health and supplements on the ted.brower@yahoo.com.
The new email you have, ted.brower.
I'm getting deluged, okay? I don't have a problem with that. But you need to at least be on a basic program from Health Masters when you contact me.
I think that's a good request.
Okay. You know, you need to be on the powder Mopal, B complex, vitamin C and D3, at least something like that before you contact me. Because here's why. And I'm not trying to pick at anybody or whatever, but I've learned this. If a person is not taking supplements and they have health problems, a lot of times they don't want to take supplements and they're not going to take supplements.
That's a fact.
And if I can't help you without supplements, what's the point of contacting me and asking me four pages of health questions?
That's true.
I can't do anything about it. I mean, I can't do anything.
Well, here's the thing. Let me request to you guys, because I'm going to top in this too, because I've had the same issue. But I appreciate you guys, and I love you contacting us. The very basis that I'm ever going to recommend, the very least that's ever going to occur, same thing with you, is going to be on the Ultra Multiple Powder.
Yes.
That's the base, and I'm not asking for anything. When you contact us and we give you guys a bunch of health and nutrition, I'm not charging you. There's no fees. I'm not saying you got to pay me $100 a month. I'm not like that. I will never be like that. I'm not one of these clowns on social media that wants you to pay me money so I can just copy and paste the same thing to 5,000 different people. The Ultra Multiple Powder is the base supplement that we make. It is the standpoint, the base structure, the foundation, the footer, the slab. It's the base you got to be on. So if you're going to get health information, if you want to get health information, if you're actually serious about nutrition, at least jump on the powder. When you email us up, say, hey, I'm an Ultra Multiple Powder, been on it for 2 or 3 weeks. What else can I run right now to help out with XYZ?
That's right. But when you contact me and you've never taken a supplement, you've never supported Health Masters, heck, you've never even bought toothpaste from us. I mean, I love you. But, I mean, you know.
It takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time.
That's the issue we've run into now over the years, is that our time that we have to spend with customers is starting to get less and less because you spend more and more time just answering the same question.
Well, you know, it goes back to the 20-80 rule. And I'm not trying to be just being real with you guys today. 20% of our customers do 80% of our volume. And 80% of our customers do 20% of our volume. And no matter what you buy, at least you're supporting Health Masters. Thank you for that. But the problem is that a lot of times people want to spend more and more time with the 80% trying to make them, you know, support you more. It doesn't work that way. It's always the same 20%. And so we try to do the best we can. That's why we have our 3% club. A lot of you guys are, I'm one of the 3%ers. I love that.
Well, as soon as you start the email out with that, I already know where we're going. I help you out with whatever you need.
Yeah, whatever you need. Yeah. Yeah. And so a lot of you are telling your friends about the show. They're turning the show on and they've got these unbelievably bad health problems that have been going on for years, if not decades. And suddenly I'm supposed to fix it, but you haven't taken a supplement at all in your whole life and you don't want to take supplements. I'm here to tell you, if you don't want to make dietary changes, you don't want to take supplements, I don't know how to help. I don't know how to help. Because I'm not going to, you know, if you go to a medical doctor, they prescribe a drug.
That's it.
And that's the problem that a lot of you have, is that you want a drug prescribed for your condition. Because you've neglected your health your whole life. I'm not picking on you, but you have. And now obviously you got all these health problems and the drugs aren't working anymore. So you're trying to find the panacea, another magic drug, in order to fix the problem. I don't have that. I can't do that. I can tell you about lifestyle choices. I can tell you about supplements. But if you're not willing to at least take a powdered multiple.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking powdered multiple right now with a purple stick and another, you know, some more protein powder.
And if you don't like powder, we got it in the capsules.
Yeah.
If you don't like swallowing capsules, we got it in the chewable.
Yeah, I mean, we got
every option for you.
I was going to say something before I started all that, and I backed and I started talking about that. What was I going to talk about, Rich? Do you remember? This is ridiculous. I apologize. You guys are.
We were off yesterday.
All right. Americans who love their country should adopt American first as a New Year's resolution, according to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts.
There we go, Doc.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And here's what he says. He goes, basically, we need to realize that it's stressing but true that Israel not only controls America's media and publishing, entertainment, financial sector, Middle East foreign policy, but also the Republican House and Senate, the Republican Party, the Republican governors, President Trump, and half of MAGA of America. Whoa. This is Paul Craig Roberts. And it says it's a joke to speak of the United States as a sovereign nation. The power that Israel exercises over the United States is even greater. Israel's power has canceled rights guaranteed by the United States Constitution, such as free speech. Americans who criticize Israel's policies, including the genocide of Palestine, and Americans who participate in protests or boycotts of Israel, are prevented by state laws in such states as Texas and Florida from even working for the state or having a contract to supply goods or services to the state. You know, President Trump has ordered deportation of people that are foreign students that have gone against Israel. If they work for corporations and media, they are fired. The United States is so totally dominated by Israel that the United States no longer exists as an independent country. You think that's true, Austin?
Yes.
I do, too.
I can go into detail on it further. I wasn't going to turn the show into this show, but you need to cover this topic because there's now another topic with, you know, the Pentagon, again, 2 weeks ago, failed another audit again. It can't pass an audit. And then it shows up now that another $8.5 billion in Pentagon funds can't be figured out where they went. And apparently now they all went more Israel again. And we're giving another $8.2 billion for more F-15 fighter jets. There's no other country in the world that gets this kind of level of treatment.
And it says President Trump has turned on his two strongest supporters, Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, both Republican members of Congress and critics of Israel, who have been the most supportive of Trump. Trump's attack on his most loyal supporters, little doubt at the orders of Netanyahu, has resulted in Greene's resignation from the House and left Thomas Massie with a multi-million dollar AIPAC fund against him in the Republican primary. America should take pleasure to take pause that Israel has so much power over the president and that Netanyahu can cause Trump to seek to destroy two of his most faithful, loyal supporters. There has been little protest from America because half are brainwashed because of Christian Zionism. A contradiction in terms because it's strictly impossible to be a Christian and a Zionist. He's right, by the way. In this article discussion, by Christian Zionism in terms Christian Judeo terms, Israel power is not limited to the United States. It prevails over the UK and Western Europe. Israel control over Russia's President Putin's Middle East policy seems as complete as Israel's control over President Trump's policy. Now, why is that happening? Well, because Israel is a Rothschild fiefdom, and the Rothschilds control the money supply of the world. Period. That's why. And you stop and you look at it, you start thinking, well, what is the truth about Judeo-Christian ethics? What's the truth about the Judeo-Christian myth? This is what I was going to talk about earlier. It says, for decades, the American populations have invoked that shared Judeo-Christian values as the foundation of Western civilization. Now, here's what it talks about. It says, the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, rejects and contradicts the New Testament on every essential doctrine. The opposing ethics, one teaching universal love, the other codifies distinction between the Jewish and the Gentile, one's an animal, one's a human. Incompatible goals, Christianity seeks the salvation of all nations, Talmudic Judaism elevates one people. Okay, Greek, who what actually built the West? Greek philosophy and Roman law, Christian theology, ethics and institutions, the Old Testament as interpreted through Christ through the New Testament, monasteries preserving knowledge through the Dark Ages, you know, cathedral schools and Catholic schools and the first universities were Christian. Talmudic Judaism, row, the Talmud was completed centuries after Rome fell. Jews lived separately under their own laws in Europe. Talmudic ethics applied only within the Jewish community. No Talmudic influence on European legal codes. The term Judeo-Christian was first published in the 1940s and did not exist until then.
There you go.
I'm just don't be sending me letters on this. But with by both, and you remember, the Zohar and the Talmud started in 72 A.D. We did a whole show on that. It took hundreds of years to finish it. While both traditions refer to the Hebrew scriptures, Christianity and Talmud Judaism arrive at fundamentally incompatible conclusions. They are not two paths to the same destination, but opposing systems that contradict each other on the most essential question. Where one affirms, the other denies. Where one embraces, the other rejects. These are not matters of interpretation or emphasis, but of fundamental truth claims that cannot be correct. Historical context. Talmudic Judaism is actually younger than Christianity. Modern rabbinic Judaism emerged after the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 A.D. with the writing of the Zohar. The Mishnah was completed around 200 A.D., and the Babylonian Talmud was completed around 500 A.D. Christianity was already spreading throughout the Roman Empire within decades of Jesus' resurrection, not 500 years later. Who benefits from this myth? The false synchronization of these two diametrically opposed faiths serves one political end. It did not emerge organically from theological reflection. It was deliberately constructed and promoted to serve a specific political project, Zionism, and the unconditional American support for the modern state of Israel. U.S. aid to Israel since 1948 is over $310 billion. Countless American lives have been lost in Middle Eastern conflicts and global enemies created solely due to U.S. support of Israel. No biblical mandate. There is no biblical or theological mandate for Christians to support the modern secular state of Israel. The New Testament teaches that the promises of Abraham are fulfilled in Christ and his church, not in an ethnic state. The promises were conditional on obedience to the covenant which Israel broke in the Old Testament. Hebrews 8:6 says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is the mediator a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. That's the new covenant. Galatians 3:13, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and his seeds as of many, but of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, from the seed of Abraham. That's who we're supposed to be blessing. The political reality, the Judeo-Christian phrase, was weaponized to manufacture consent for an unprecedented transfer of American wealth and military power to a foreign nation. It has been used to silence critics, smear opponents as anti-Semitic, and create a false impression that supporting Israel is a Christian's duty. We've seen that, Austin, even in churches. This represents one of the most successful propaganda campaigns in American history. That's what it is. America's unconditional support for Israel has generated enemies across the world who would otherwise have no quarrel with the United States and with American people. It has entangled the United States in endless Middle Eastern conflicts, drained the treasury of hundreds of billions of dollars, and cost American servicemen their lives, all to serve the interests of a foreign nation, not the American people.
Let me clarify. I'm just going to say this before we move on, because I got a bunch of stuff I need to cover today. It serves the interests of a foreign nation that absolutely hates Christianity in the United States. The Talmud and basically the Bible, New Testament, are diametrically opposed viewpoints. They can never be brought concurrent together. It's physically impossible. They're diametrically opposed, and that's why I brought up that video that last time with that little queer boy. What's his name? Ben Shapiro, where he gets up on there with Joe Rogan. And he says we don't believe in the deity of Christ at all. We think he was basically a Roman Jew that got crucified for his troubles and tried to lead a revolt. We don't believe in the deity of Christ. We don't believe any of that. We believe none of it. It's all fiction. He says that. And so when you start sitting there saying that I'm going to support a country that's diametrically opposed to your viewpoints and your Christian beliefs, you ask yourself the question, why do I think this way when what's it doing to me?
Here's the verse. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. John 5:23. Here's the myth. Christianity and Judaism worships the same triune God. Our Christian faith, we teach the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Talmudic Judaism explicitly rejects the divinity of Christ and the Trinity, considering these beliefs to be idolatry. The Talmud contains passages deeply hostile to Christ. These are not the same conception of God. Just thought I'd give you the heads up. Now, I'm not talking about the Old Testament Torah Jews who basically worship the God of Abraham. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Talmudic ones. Here's the next one. Myth Christianity emerged from Judaism as a natural progression. That is absolutely not the truth. It says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, Matthew 16:6. Christianity emerged when Christ rose from the dead around 33 AD, decades before the temple's destruction. Modern rabbinic Judaism emerged after 70 AD as the Pharisees, the very group Jesus opposed, codified their oral traditions into the Talmud. One follows Christ, the other follows traditions that he condemned. Neither is the parent of the other. Myth, the Old Testament and the Torah are the same thing. While both include the first five books of Moses, rabbinic Judaism holds that the oral Torah codified in the Talmud supersedes the written text. Jesus condemned the tradition that the Talmud's rabbinical interpretations often contradict or nullify the plain meaning of Scripture, Matthew 15:6. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Myth, the term Judeo-Christianity has ancient historical roots. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other. The phrase Judeo-Christian was virtually unknown before the 20th century. It was deliberately popularized in the 1940s through Samuel Untermeyer and the pushing of this of the Bible that they wrote in the 1940s and 1950s as a political project to unite Americans against communism, which they don't bother to tell you that almost all of the Jews that were involved in communism with Russia were all, almost all the communists were Jews who had the whole Russian Empire to thrown over. For 1900 years, both faiths understood themselves as fundamentally opposed. Myth, Jews are still God's chosen people with separate covenant. Don't fuss at me at this one. The New Testament teaches that the covenant with Israel was fulfilled in Christ, and that all who believe, Jew and Gentile alike, are now Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. There is no separate path to salvation. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You have to accept Jesus. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for all of you are one in Christ. Always remember that. We have to understand what's going on with Judaism, what's going on with Christianity. The Jews are no longer God's chosen people. They do not have a separate plan of salvation. That is complete and total blasphemy according to the New Testament. And so a lot of Christians say, well, God's given them a hall pass. They're going to get in anyhow because of the Old Testament. Wait a minute. The only way they had salvation and forgiveness of their sins in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and oxen and everything else in the temple. They don't do that anymore. That's not part of Talmudic Judaism. And so all part of this stuff we have to understand is a myth. Judeo-Christian myth is they're two separate religions. It's not the same. And what they did, Austin, and you see the truth of this when you see Ben Shapiro, what he said.
Correct.
He has no interest in Christianity whatsoever. We have been told, we have, because of the Scofield Reference Bible, we were taught to believe from our seminaries and from our pastors over 100 years ago that we have to bless Israel in order to be blessed. It's simply not true. It's just not true. And that's like they said on this article, the greatest propaganda campaign of all time. It really is. I mean, it's gone on for over 100 years now, and there are people that are so adamant about this, no matter what you say to them, they're not going to agree with you. You know, it's so funny. I was listening to Tex Mars the other day, and I posted this online. You guys can look back and go see it. He was talking about the Mormon faith and how the Mormons believe this and the Mormons believe that and the Mormons believe this. And he goes into detail between the difference between Mormonism and Christianity and how, you know, they all kind of have this blank look on their face and they just walk around like, you know, and that's the truth with Mormons. Sorry, Mormons, not all of you are like that, but a lot of you are like that. It's like you're part of a cult. And you walk around like with a stare, like a blank stare on your face. And you know, and I see the same stare with people that are Israel supporters above Christianity. I'm going to say that very clearly. They support Israel more than they do Jesus. They support Israel more than they do Christianity. They support Israel more than they do basically the evangelical work of Christians all over the world to convert people to Christianity. They support Israel more than that. Their God is Israel.
The issue that I've come about, and I got a bunch of health stories I'm going to come here in a second, because I'm not going to talk about this all day. The issue that I have with this entire topic, with these, you know, the superior race complex as far as which is presented, and it's presented in the Christian churches as well, is that essentially we're lesser than them. We're lesser than them because that's what they said it is and that's what they believe it is. So they do anything they want and we have to support them. At the same time, you know, we've watched hundreds of thousands of Palestinians literally murdered, butchered, buried, whatever you want, whatever which way, with this massive genocide. When this article just comes out now and Trump comes out and does his big tweet and there's a bunch of protesting going on in Iran, like normal. And Iran says, if anyone is killed, basically, in this protest, or if the government kills anybody in this protest, we're coming to the rescue. We're locked and loaded, ready to go. I mean, we're going to go attack Iran if they kill any of the protesters. Now, let me clarify something. I am not at all at any point in time justifying people killing each other, especially if we're protesting. That's very horrific. At the second time, though, why is it suddenly that we're so concerned about Iranian protesters? Suddenly we're concerned about Iranian protesters' life in Iran. Suddenly it's a giant thing that the United States president of the United States feels the need to start tweeting and threatening Iran. If any protesters are killed, we're going to go to war with Iran. Well, what about the Palestinian protesters here in the United States that have been arrested? Not justifying their behavior. I'm just saying, what about that? The Palestinian protesters in Gaza that have all been executed and murdered. What about Palestinian children, prisoners that have been brutally butchered in some cases and all types of horrific things? I'm not going to get on the show. Why is it suddenly now we're so concerned about Iranian protesters? And again, it shows you we're doing whatever we're told to do by that country. And so it's just something to be aware of. But I'm going to get off this topic. Another thing of organic, 100% grass-fed ground beef is now once again recalled. Idaho-based Mountain West groups recalling nearly 3,000 pounds of raw beef, which is not that much beef. However, it's interesting, they're saying now that it may be contaminated with E. coli. Could be a possibility. Could be more food that's getting moved around. Just a thought on that, because I was seeing it. More recalls happen on almost a weekly basis than they ever have now. Over the last 2 or 3 years, I've told you guys this, and it's ironic because the FDA and the USDA, they're all wrapped up in recalling certain things on it's beneficial to them, but yet we still have the RNA gene therapy injection on the children's shot schedule for the CDC. It's 6 months old. That is, they've refused to take off, even though the FDA came out 2 weeks ago and said, we're putting a black box warning on the COVID shot. Then 3 days later, the FDA director came out and said, we're not putting a black box warning on the COVID shot. It's safe and effective. Yet every single actual awake and alert and acute physician, doctor, anybody that's actually looked at these shots has said there's absolutely zero purpose. These shots are still on the market. This is RNA gene therapy. But yeah, we can't pull that one off now. Now, something is another article that came up here, and I'm going to cover this. It says how to actually achieve your goals this year. This has some good advice in it. As I talk to guys about goals all the time, ways to achieve things, whether you're trying to do in finances, why you're trying to do with health, why you're trying to do with supplementation, whether you're trying to do it with goals with kids. You know, there's a lot of ways to achieve your goals. And the first one in here, it said, well, a good way to do it is set a goal on the list that you're 90% sure you can achieve. And we've talked about this before, and this comes into basically short-term and long-term goals, meaning you want to make sure on your goal list you have certain goals that you know it's actually possible to achieve, especially in the short end. What this does is this wires your brain to give yourself essentially that short-term pickup where you go, okay, I've accomplished this. Now I have confidence to build this and this and this, especially if you're not really used to setting goals. It says when you naturally become more ambitious, if you're the kind of person to read an article how to achieve your goals, you should probably aim to get a win on your belt at the beginning. Studies have consistently shown confidence that makes us odds, so 90% will be plenty hard enough at most at the beginning. And this is poorly written on here. I don't know why they can't write. I'm reading that out loud.
It's harder.
Stuff on it, but this is poorly written.
Somebody didn't read it out loud.
No.
90%. The AI they used to write this, probably, who knows, didn't read it out loud to itself.
Well, we've noticed that a lot, though. It's a lot of stuff written with AI. It'll sound good. They'll use good dictionary words, but sometimes it doesn't flow at all. The topics on here are good. Work on one goal at a time. Sometimes you can go past this and you can work on goals that work together. But one thing that I have found a lot of times, and this has happened to me in my own world, you get 5 or 10 goals, whether it's a daily goal, weekly goal, monthly goal, yearly goal, and you start trying to knock out multiple goals at the same time. They're completely different directions.
I'm going to lose 2 pounds this week.
Right.
Anybody can do that.
Right.
90% certain you can do it.
There you go.
Make it 2 pounds. Don't make it 20 pounds this week. Make it 2 pounds.
And keep your short-term goals simple. You know, I want to go on a GHI cleanse fast for 3 days. Try that if you need to. I want to go on a GHI cleanse fast for a week. I want to go on for 30 days. Like you talked about, you really want to detox. Sometimes you got to start having short incremental goals in order to boost yourself up and also get your confidence in as far as setting goals. And then focus on one of those goals at a time and build yourself forward until you can get up to more advanced goals. This is another one here. It says transform a goal into a daily process.
Get on the scales every day, guys.
That's exactly right. I was just about to say, start setting up basic goals. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to do 10 minutes of cardio. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to do 20. Whatever your goals you may need. Every morning I'm going to get up, or 5 days a week I'm going to get up and I'm going to go for a walk around my neighborhood or my property or wherever you have on there. Set up those daily goals to make a habit. I mean, when you start making a habit of something, it starts becoming increasingly easy after about 2 to 3 weeks to keep doing it. You just do it. Like, hey, I'm going to jump on the scales every day. You'll reach a point where you don't even think about it. You just step on the scale.
And, you know, I get criticized for that often in texts and emails. I weigh in once a month. You can gain 10 pounds in a month, bud. Just thought I'd mention that. It's a lot easier to lose the 2 pounds than it is the 10 pounds.
And let's clarify this. This has nothing to do with an obsessive level. I think some people hear stuff on a daily basis, and they automatically are quick to discount it as obsessive because they don't want to set up consistency. Consistency with certain things breeds repetition. Repetition continually breeds success in most cases. If you continue to keep doing something that works and you do it on a regular basis, you make it a habit that works, pretty much guaranteed long-term it's going to work. Which is what happens.
Consistent effort over a long period of time gets consistent results.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so that's the problem that I have so many times when people go, oh, it's being obsessive. No, sitting at your house counting each grain of rice on a picogram scale because you want to make sure you bring it down to the quarter of a gram on how much rice you're eating, that's obsessive and that's obtrusive and that's not effective. There's no need to do like that. There's no need to eat like that. So you got to understand there's a base to it. It says think about when and where you'll make progress. This comes into like a monthly level. You want to lose 2 pounds this week? What can I do every month? What can I do every month? When and where am I going to hit these goals at January, February, March, April?
And guys, one of the easiest things to do is stop eating out.
Well, that helps a lot.
And when you go out with your wife, you're not being cheap. Just split a meal. If you want to tip the guy a little extra for the fact that you handled two people instead of with one meal, go ahead and do that. That's what I do. And it's really important. Don't be eating two giant meals. I don't know what to say about it, Austin. I get so frustrated with it because people go broke. They'll go bankrupt. I've seen it eating out.
Well, eating out, I have no problem with eating out on occasion, especially for certain stuff. I like it sometimes.
It's so expensive.
But it's gotten expensive. And also, too, if you're trying to count macros or trying to maintain overall caloric intake, it's virtually impossible in some cases. It really is. Now, some places have gotten better is they'll put down the total calories on a meal setup that you order. So a lot of times you go to a place, they have like, you know, wild-caught salmon with rice and asparagus. It says it's 500 calories, 600 calories
there
on
you
there. That's pretty clean. You can get away with doing that. But you're like, man, I don't know how much this double plate of pasta Alfredo with double chicken, fried chicken on top, I'm not sure how many calories this is. I'm just going to wing it and say it's 500. No, it's about 1,800 to 2,200. Cheesecake Factory actually does this. They put their calories on the side.
Cheesecake Factory is scary in many
They
calories.
Have some of the highest calorie plates in the entire country. I mean,
if you want to go split a meal, Cheesecake Factory is the place.
Split a meal? Quad a meal?
No, we did it with the kids when they were little. We'd order a meal, split it four ways.
There's one on there. I forgot what it was. And it was on a news article. And it was something with a big pasta dish plate with all the stuff. And it was like 2,800 calories for one plate. I mean, yeah. Now, if you split that, that's only 700 calories per person.
Four people. But Publix now is their ground beef, basically their center cup. So they made Daily Mail, by the way.
I saw that article.
I sent it to you.
We've been talking about it with
$49 a pound.
Yeah,
for center cut.
For a center cut, it was basically a filet.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem that I have with that:
you buy it cheaper in a restaurant.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, you go to a lot of places. A 12-ounce filet is like $40-$50 for a decent cut of meat,
and that's at
a restaurant getting cooked, bringing it out to you,
and you're getting sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so I don't know.
Publix got slammed.
No, they got slammed on it. Now, number five on this list, it says be ruthless about removing friction. I like this. It says friction is now your sworn enemy. If your goal is to stop snacking after dinner, then brush your teeth soon after the meal. Just knowing you'll have to brush again is a good
turn. True.
It is. Want to write in your journal? Lay it out on your pillow with a nice pen and a pleasant reading light already on, making it easy as possible.
If you really want to do it, brush your teeth and floss your teeth.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to floss twice a night.
No, you don't. You're talking, man, I'm going to eat. I just flossed.
I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, yeah. That's a valid point. It says, don't treat yourself like a drill sergeant. It says, if one way you'll fail goals, if you can't get your future self to agree to stick to a plan. Now, this happens a lot sometimes.
I'm not sure if I agree with this.
No, I see what they're saying with this is don't rail yourself so hard on certain topics, essentially where you can't allow yourself to have a break or have a cheat meal. One of the biggest things about maintaining a healthy diet is you occasionally have to give yourself a break. You can't maintain a hardcore fat-burning diet long-term in perpetuity without having a break occasionally. You need to have a cheat meal. And there's two reasons why this, and I'll give you guys this. I learned this from contest prep. A, you've got to give yourself some of that level of basically a positive dopamine trigger where you're like, I've done this for an entire month now. I've been eating fish and broccoli the last 4 weeks of the show. I'm done with the show now. Now I'm going to get a cheeseburger, whatever it may be. Secondly, what it also does is, too, a lot of people don't realize this. When you start eating really, really clean and really cleaning up your diet, in some cases, your thyroid and your metabolism can actually start to slow down from a decrease in calories. When you go out and you have a higher calorie meal, you have a higher calorie setup that you've done intentionally, what it does is it massively spikes your thyroid and your metabolism to tell your body, we've got an excess of calories now. We can really, really start burning body fat. This also helps out if you're taking the thyroid support while you're burning fat. This is really crucial to make sure your thyroid stays really healthy on it. That's the main part of it.
That's one of the reasons a lot of people maintain body weight and low body fat is because of thyroid function. A lot of people have better thyroid function than other people. They make more thyroxine.
And it's easy to fix. That's why we carry thyroid support. It says, think about how to make your habit enjoyable. This is a fact of the matter. This is a lot of it's mindset. Some people get so much wrapped up in the mindset that they constantly have to have a meal that entertains them all the time. I've got to have gravy on top of my fried chicken along with my mashed potatoes and my french fries and my ketchup and my bubbly soda. At a certain point in time, you don't have to sit there and have everything entertain you all the time. You've got to have a mindset, but you don't have to eat food that tastes like crap either.
Anyway, this is good. This says it well. Attitude has a lot to do with it and with your expectations. In other words, you have to be entertained by all of your meals. Lower your expectations. You don't have to be entertained by everything.
Right.
Lower them enough to simply showing up as a victory. Don't aim for quality and expectations and fizzy, bubbly food. Aim for consistency. That's why I eat fish and vegetables and chicken and vegetables and beef and vegetables. Allow quality to come naturally over time. In other words, don't make it a diet. Make it a lifestyle choice.
And that's why if you eat clean, I tell you guys, 80-20. If you eat clean about 80% of the time, if you occasionally go out and have a Five Guys burger, whatever. It's not going to do anything to you, I promise you. If you've got your thyroid functioning properly, you're running proper supplements like the berberine and the cinnamon, you're eating clean 80% of the time, and you want to enjoy a burger on a rare occasion, do it. Enjoy it. It's not going to affect you that much. Just don't flip it. Don't eat Five Guys for 80% of your meals during the week.
What you can do, and I know this is hard for some people to do, is if you go to a restaurant and you split a Five Guys burger.
You can't do that.
Yeah, then they come down, because they're about 1,000 calories.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, you split one, now you get the taste, you get the reward of eating there, you get to be entertained by your hamburger,
be entertained by your food.
Okay? But you're not blowing the caloric intake. And then don't get a you know shake with it.
No,
don't get fries.
Either.
And don't get fries.
If you are going to get fries, which I don't recommend it, they're cooked in peanut oil, which I'm not a big fan of. If you absolutely have to do it, get a small fry if multiple people are eating it.
But there's no such thing as small fry.
Problem is, Five Guys, you can't get. That's what I said. You get a small one, you still get a large. You get a large, you get a double XL, and there's always way too many fries with them. No. And remember, fries are probably one of the worst things you can possibly eat to burn body fat because you're eating super high glycemic carbohydrate potatoes that are deep fried. No matter what oil, even if they're in the what stuff is
lard? Tallow.
Even that, you're eating fat and carbs. There's no protein. That high fat, high carbohydrate is the quickest way to become unbelievably fat. Just be honest with you. It's the quickest
pizza, baby.
Yeah, that's the quick way to do it. Here's the other thing, too. It says, write down obstacles you'll think you'll face. This is great for journaling. If you have problems, if you have obstacles, if you have things that you're fighting, let them be written down so you know, well, this is something that I run into. At 9 o'clock at night, I like to eat a giant tub of Bluebell ice cream before I go to bed. Okay, here's a great fix to this. Don't buy ice cream and bring it home. There you go. You acknowledge it now. You're writing it down. You're looking at it. You're saying, this is a problem. How am I going to fix it? Don't bring it to the house. If you absolutely have to have ice cream, go out somewhere and get it with your kids somewhere on a rare occasion so it's not in the house, because that's the worst time that people like to eat stuff is at night. Track your progress visibly. This goes right back to you. That easiest thing is looking at it on the scale. Write down notes. You do that all the time.
Years ago, I had actually was a chemical engineer. He's Daniel, you know Daniel. He's John John's son. He came in here and he worked out with us one day. This is 20 years ago. And I remember.
He played for FSU.
He trained heavy. And I remember he brought a journal in with him.
Yeah.
And in the journal, he had written down what he had worked out the day before and his weight.
Yeah.
I mean, every day. I mean, he had a journal that went back for years. And I thought, what a unique idea. I did. I've showed you my journal here. I've got one. In fact, when Austin starts talking in a second, I'll walk out there and I'll bring you the journal in real quick. Yeah. You'll see it again. So you'll know we're not making this up. And I mean, it goes back for years upon years upon years. I write down what I'm working that day.
Yep.
What body parts I'm working and what my weight is that day. Every time, sometimes I'll put my cardio goals in there. And I've kept track of that for years. You think, well, that's obsessive. Hey, I keep my weight down, don't I?
It's obsessive to what, though?
Yeah, compared to what? You know, high blood pressure, depression, the diabetes, cancer.
Running GLP-1s with thyroid cancer and basically rotten pancreas.
My God. Yeah, I mean,
obsessive, because that's the thing. A lot of people, and I feel this happens a lot, people try to dismiss healthy nutrition with being obsessed. And, you know, it's a topic that I brought up the other day because me and my buddy were talking because we, you know, I don't drink at all anymore at all. And we were talking about New Year's because we didn't drink anything on New Year's. He doesn't anymore. And we were discussing alcohol and what it does to your body. And he goes, isn't it funny?
I'll be right back.
He goes, this is funny. He goes, if you go up to somebody and they ask you, do you want to drink? And I don't drink anymore. They always have like 50 million questions on why you don't drink anymore. If you walk up to somebody and said, I don't drink water anymore, they'd go, oh, that's interesting. And they go on with their day. They wouldn't even ask you why you don't drink water anymore and how you're still actually operationally alive and you're not dead on the floor. They wouldn't care. But you say you don't drink anymore, and they've got 50 questions on why you don't drink anymore and why this. And it's ironic to me because if you flipped it, something that's dietarily required for you to have, water, and you tell them you don't drink anymore, they go, okay, that's it. And again, I've told you guys before, if you want to have occasional drinks for stuff for here or there, it's not that big of a deal. It's just really not good for the pancreas and the liver. It's got to make sure you're detoxing your body and get it out of your body if you're going to do it. That's not a big deal. Then you're pretty good on it. You can't be on a regular basis. The GHI cleanse is, I've gotten so many feedback from people that have had like a Christmas party. They're doing something. I tell them, I said, take two or three scoops of GHI before you go to bed that night and you wake up the next morning and you'll feel pretty good because you're getting those toxins out of your body. And you're relieving your liver and strengthening your pancreas. The last one on here, number 10, it says, consider upping the stakes. Both the carrot and the stick have a place in motivational scheme. It's worth thinking, though, that the stick would be like for you. A good place to start is two of the most powerful incentives known to man, money and status. There's various ways to set up bets with your friends so you're forced to pay a penalty for not sticking to your plan. I've done this before in the gym when I used to train really heavy.
Yeah, here's the problem.
So we've all done, I'm not going to lie, I've done this.
Okay, give me this.
I'm not telling everybody to do this.
Give me the middle camera. Here's the problem. I've done it. Nobody pays up.
but invariably, everybody gets in good shape.
Yeah.
When I've done it.
No, if you're going to do it, have somebody else hold
the pot.
Yeah, put it in a pot. Have somebody else hold the money.
Yeah, everybody throws in $20, $50, whatever it is. At the end of the month, whatever you guys are lifting, whether it's a goal to lift this.
But they won't pay up.
Nobody does. But everybody does usually get pretty in shape.
No, you work your butt off and you lose 10 pounds. You go, look at me, I'm done. Where's my $500? I was just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, let me show you this. This is give me the center camera. Look at this. These are some of my login dates.
Your handwriting's as bad as mine.
Look at this. Now look. You guys see this? This goes back for years, decade. Look at this. And I write in here, you know, exactly what I'm working. I'm shoulders. I weigh 198. I'm working legs. I weigh 196. It's on Thursday. And I go through. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, I finally run out of paper. I got to get a brand new one down.
Now, it takes about 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, at most.
It's about 10, 15 seconds.
I've been wrote down a Harris's goals here years ago. This is back in, you know, Thanksgiving, 2013. This is 13 years ago. Harrison's right arm was basically, 10 inches.
Well, the measurements are great, too, if you're trying to get ripped. You know, guys that are trying to get bigger, you've got to monitor your size if you're trying to grow when you're young.
Well, no, and it tells all of the sizes that he was at the age of 14. And in fact, I sent him that the other day. And so the crazy part about it is that shows you how old this book is. It probably goes back 13, 14 years.
Dorian Yates was huge on this in the 90s. Yeah, I mean, he did one of those podcasts a while back ago, and he had a box he brought in, and it was notebook, everything from what he ate. Well, granted, he was obsessive because he was competing to be the largest bodybuilder in the world. Let me say this, though,
because we talked about being obsessive.
Yeah.
I've been obsessive.
So have I.
Okay? This is not obsessive.
This is just
a period of over a decade of writing down one little thing every single day. But I've been to the point where you're logging in everything and you're writing down everything.
Micros, baby.
And everything about is the bodybuilding. And that is not a healthy lifestyle, by the way, at all. And if you're a bodybuilder, I admire your discipline and your tenacity. But I tell you what, it is not a lifestyle you can live with long term and be healthy. It doesn't work that way, especially if you start doing anabolic steroids, which I never did. But just be really, really careful with it. If you start off with a good goal, hey, I want to get in shape and look good. And then you end up being obsessive with it. What is this?
Oh, this is how to achieve your goals. It looks like they're crawling up a cantaloupe. Not really sure of the photo on here.
That's a weird. I guess they're but it's like, but you know, nobody
trying to get their goal.
Nobody ever just shows up on the top of Mount Everest.
No,
they have to set up goals. They got to do.
Especially Everest,
and that's why there's so many dead bodies up there. They don't prepare properly.
You see the guy that skied down Mount Everest successfully, first time world record, Guinness World Record, skied from the top of Mount Everest all the way down, snow skied. Crazy, crazy video.
Hope he's got a doggone parachute attached to him because, my gosh.
He didn't. At that level, you're right on the precipice of death, so you got to understand that there's a high probability you're going to die with a goal like that.
Mostly downhill.
Got to get up there, though.
He may have brought him up on something.
Helicopter. You can't get a helicopter that high.
The air's too thin.
You can't get anything up that high. The jet will go that high, but you can't stop it.
Well, you could parachute out of it. You could with a halo
jump.
That wouldn't be low opening. It'd be high opening.
No, you have to land on Mount Everest with a parachute.
Kind of breathe with no air.
Tanks.
I got my skis.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, by the way, surprising facial feature that can reveal if you will get dementia.
That's interesting.
This is an interesting article. Now, whether it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It says wrinkles, especially crow's feet, may be leading indicators of a person's risk of developing Alzheimer's disease later in life. Researchers in China determined that looking older than you are created more than a 60% higher risk of being diagnosed with dementia, which affects over 7 million Americans. Over a 12-year period, they did this test, including looking at factors like health and lifestyle. They conducted a second investigation, published in the same report, and found that people with most crow's feet and wrinkles around the eyes had over double the odds of measurable cognitive impairment than can be those with the fewest. The perception that old age and wrinkles alone pose a dementia risk may be due to what scientists call pathogenic mechanisms. The core idea is that facial aging provides a visual estimate of the body. Let me say this again. This is a really important sentence. The core idea is that facial aging provides a visual estimate of the body's internal biological age to its susceptibility to age-related diseases, including those affecting the brain. Looking older than your chronological age, it's not just about skin-deep wrinkles or sunspots. Instead, it's the visible indicator of your systemic biological age, which may actually be older than your chronological age. In other words, you may be 50 years old, but biologically you may be 80 years old because of what you've done to your body. That's what this article is saying. It says pronounced crow's feet may be a particularly sensitive biomarker because they reflect cumulative environmental damage. Heavy sun damage is a source of systemic oxidative stress and inflammation, which are key pathways also implicated in brain aging. Now, I'm going to say one other thing about this. A lot of people get really bad wrinkles because they smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, bad. I mean, I remember.
It dries your face out, too.
I remember I had dated this girl in college. Her name was Stacy. And Stacy basically did not eat clean, and she smoked. And it was a constant source of conflict between us because it smelled awful. And I remember I saw her 4 or 5 years later, and she basically was covered with fine line wrinkles, like a roadmap. I've seen that over and over and over again because that oxidative stress that you're doing because of cigarette smoke is really aging you quickly because it's decreasing oxygen to all levels of the body. In addition to that, most people who eat don't eat. The people who smoke don't eat clean.
That's true.
Their lifestyle's that way.
Hey, there's another thing to add to that, too, though, that I want to add on this real quick about the smoking because I want to hear the rest of this article. One thing that people fail to realize when they smoke heavy amounts of cigarettes is that lungs are the storehouse for the vitamins and minerals of the body.
Primarily minerals, that's
they,
right.
They load up with minerals. They store it. So in the event that you need it, they're able to release more minerals into the body if there's basically a deficit. This is why it's so important. If you are smoking, and I don't recommend you smoke, if you're trying to stop smoking, if you are smoking, whatever it may be, make sure you are hammering the Ultramultiple powder. I'm not just pushing this.
And vitamin C.
Yes. The vitamin C is really good for oxidative stress. The Ultramultiple powder will at least try to attempt to increase your mineral storage, and the vitamin C helps oxidative stress while you're trying to stop smoking. Doing both don't really make a whole lot of sense, but at least it will try to reduce some of that damage while you're trying to come off cigarettes and reduce the cravings of nicotine. I've seen a lot of people do that, and they start feeling a lot better, and to the point when they come off the cigarettes, they don't have as much withdrawals.
It says after accounting for factors like age, health, and lifestyle, they found that those who reported looking older had a 61% higher chance of dementia.
Wow.
When you look older than your age. The link between looking older and according to what other people thought and a higher dementia rate was not the same for everybody. The connection was strongest in three specific groups: people with obesity, those who spent time outside, and people who had a higher genetic to developing Alzheimer's disease. The risk was elevated across different types of dementia, most notably for vascular dementia, which saw a 55% higher risk, as well as unspecified dementia, which had a 74% higher risk when you start getting wrinkles and your skin starts breaking down. Again, and what they said in here, the most important part of what they said is this: many times your biological age is older than your chronological age. In other words, it's not the age, it's the miles. Yeah. You get a race car, you get a Formula One race car, every time they run it through the races, they tear the motor down.
And it's only 4 weeks old.
They've already put four different motors in it.
Yeah.
You know, the motors are $1 million a piece, and they have to tear them down because the intensity of the race is so, and the RPMs. That's the same way our body runs. If you're running all the time on high octane cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, and go,
10,000 RPM red lines.
Yeah, and you're running on cocaine, and you're running all these stimulants, and you're running on Adderall, and you start aging really, really fast. What is the old adage? He who burns twice as fast burns half as long?
Who burns twice as bright but half as long, yeah.
You know,
Most of the candle, you burn really bright.
Yeah.
But the candle gets real small real fast.
Yeah, if you turn it sideways, it just goes away.
Yeah.
And see, and that's the problem that a lot of people have. They set up a goal. Well, I'm going to make X amount of dollars this year.
Yeah.
And they worked 100-hour work weeks to get it. Well, they don't realize they age 5 years the 1 year.
Yeah.
They don't see their family. They don't see their wives. They don't see their children. They don't see anything. All they do is go, work. And finally, you realize 10, 20 years down the road, you almost die of heart disease. You almost die of pericarditis. You almost die of something else. You go, wait a minute. What am I doing? Remember the scripture verse. It's not power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. God's going to direct you. He's going to lead you. He's going to help you. He's going to allow you to accomplish your goals in his timing. Now, you can set your goals up, and you can work at it like the plaque I've got on the wall over there. Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles of life that can never be broken: prayer and work. But when I was young, I used to work 100-hour work weeks because I had a goal, man. I was going to drive myself to do it until I came down with pericarditis and almost died. And then I realized very quickly, wait a minute. Am I really going to do this, die in my 20s, because I have lofty goals for myself? And I started to think, wait a minute, I'm going to let God do this. I'm going to let him lead me and take me through this path, and I'm going to follow him. And he did. He took Sharon and I could tell you story after story after story of places he put us that allowed us to go to the next place, to the next place, to the next place, to the next place, because we were being led by the Holy Spirit. See, if you're led by the Holy Spirit and you're careful with your words, I'm going to say that to you again, and you're careful with the things that you think and the things that you confess, it's amazing what God can do. Now, one other thing I'm going to share with you, too. This is very important. I just broke my glasses. This is great. Okay. You guys want to send me a present? Send me some more glasses.
Gosh, dude, what'd
you just
do?
I was twisting on them. I didn't think you were going to do all that. I hope you had fun with that. I'm sure you did. Now I can look at you with one guy. But that's funny.
Yeah. Right? Hey, do not send me Illuminati articles now because he said one eye through his glasses. Gosh, I get some weird stuff sometimes.
This is not the all-seeing eye.
Oh, my gosh.
A pair of broken glasses.
We had something one time on a show and it had some number on it for the time. And I was like, he goes, that's Illuminati numerology. You guys are putting these numbers on here. I'm like, we really did. It's just the time we cut the show out. I promise you, it's not that. Some stuff, I'll give you guys credit, and a lot of it, there's some real weird things that happen. I promise you, we do this show every day for you guys. We're not trying to put these weird Illuminati satanic symbols.
Well, there's this one Jewish preacher who's a rabbi who claims to be a Christian. He had a big meeting up there in D.C. a few years ago, never mentioned Jesus. His name's Khan, by the way, if you want to know who he is. And it's very strange to me because he always comes out there with this weird Vulcan hand sign was part of the gematria and part
really?
Of the, oh yeah.
Well, they don't do that on the show.
Well, we don't do that.
I put my
hand down and even show you what I because the reality is that you know you got to be really careful with what you watch, who you listen. I know I broke them. All right, they fell apart right in front of me. That's great.
How do I look, guys?
I got Charles's camera. There you go.
How'd you break these?
I don't know. These fell apart in my hands.
Anyways,
I'm sure it's plastic.
You know, I have a new goal for 2026 to get you some new glasses, or you get some new glasses.
Well, I got some women's glasses over there, but I refuse to wear them.
Don't do that.
I told Rich, I said, it looks way too gay. I'm going to the house to get these glasses. But be careful. Be careful what you watch on TV.
Okay? That is true.
Now, listen to me for a second. You know, Netflix is the worst. I've talked to you guys about this repeatedly. They put satanic stuff on there. They run soft porn crap on there. They run satanic stuff on there.
A lot of gay stuff on there.
You got to be really careful because let me ask you a question. Here's another question for you. Does Satan really want you to be happy?
No.
This battle that we're in, this battle is not against flesh and blood. You know,
he wants your soul.
He comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be his slave, and he wants your soul. And so he does, Netflix is one of the filthiest things I've ever seen.
Well, look at Elon Musk came out and said, if you are a parent, delete Netflix immediately. They have cartoon after cartoon after cartoon after cartoon with blatant transgender behavior in it. That I'm talking, these are kids' storyline cartoons. We've covered them on the
and
show.
They always, either they go satanic or they go gay. Always.
And always.
Always.
And what I've noticed now, too, is the Satanism that is so prevalent. This is bizarre to me. I'm going to tell you guys just yesterday. I'm at Islands Adventure. We go back to Universal Studios. I'm with Hunter all day. And I've never seen so many grown men running around in these Harry Potter capes, full Harry Potter outfits with wand wizards. And I'm talking men with full male pattern baldness in their 40s. I'm not picking anybody for going bald. I'm just saying these are grown men. And they're running around and they've got their Harry Potter cape and their Harry Potter glasses and their Harry Potter wand. And I'm looking at them and I'm just going, what? What happened to society?
Well, they're probably satanic. They're probably Satanists, bud.
They probably are. But at the same time, golly, you're going out public like that? Remember Harry Potter? I won't even go on any of the rides, by the way, at Harry Potter. Won't do them at Universal Studios. The entire premise of Harry Potter is all based in witchcraft and Satanism. If you haven't figured that out yet, I don't watch the movies. I don't keep them in my house. And you go, Austin, that's being weird. It's just a movie. No, it's not.
They use real satanic curses.
They came out in an article about 6-7 years ago. The lady, I don't remember the lady's name that wrote the books originally. She talked about a lot of the dialogue and in the script in those films. They actually used real satanic witchcraft verbiage in their spells that they said on the show. And you don't even know what they're saying. So you're putting on the movie. You're in your movie room, your house, your big movie room. You got your speaker set up. You got your kids in there for popcorn. And you're allowing satanic witchcraft and basically certain types of spells and incantations to be spoken in your house verbally. If you don't think there's a problem with that and that's not going to have any side effects, then that's on you. You can do some research on that.
Well, no, you watch a show, and all of a sudden, you and your wife are in a fight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You and your kids are in a fight.
Fight.
And all of a sudden,
everybody's in a fight.
Well, because of that. See, let me show you this. This is, hand me that purple thing. Okay. This is not real.
It's empty. I used all of it.
No, that has nothing to do with that. Okay. What this is an energy field.
Yeah, held together.
It's held together through Christ. Okay. It's if you take an X-ray, you look right through it. It's just atoms. Okay. It's an energy field. You're an energy field. I'm an energy field. Words are an energy field. Words create the substance of basically reality.
And matter.
Yeah. And so when you take something that's as powerful as the word and you start speaking curses upon you and your family and you start doing all that, what ends up happening is you create an energy field in your house that is extremely negative. So if you be careful, mute your commercials if you watch TV.
If you still have TV, I don't have to do that.
Cable,
anymore.
Yeah. But mute your commercials. And then secondly, if you're going to watch shows, got dialogue that goes sideways, fast forward it or mute it. Just fast forward it.
Because sometimes what they'll do sometimes, everybody knows, sometimes you got some really good films. They got really good action scenes or really good special effects. And then there's always, they got to put something really gay in the middle of it. They got to put something really obtrusive in it. Or just really just bad dialogue and bad language. They do that intentionally. Just mute it. Fast forward through that part. Now, one thing I noticed the other day, I didn't realize this till the other night. They had Amazon Prime. They had some really good movies on there. Now, Amazon Prime is putting like these 2 and 3 minute commercials multiple ways through movies. I didn't know because I don't have Amazon. I was shocked. They're putting commercials in the middle of movies that are already paid for. It's like, my gosh, can you guys not stop advertising crap to everybody? They can't do it. They can't do it.
They make too much money with it, Austin. And remember, the guys that breathe free air, there's never enough money.
No.
That's why Jesus said the love of money, the avarice, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not bad, but it's that love. It's like, I got to have more money. You got 45 Ferraris sitting in the driveway. You got to maintain all 45 Ferraris. I got to have more cars. I have to have more cars. What the H-E double stick is wrong with you? You don't need more cars.
There's nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
And going back to what we talked about, there's absolutely nothing wrong with having goals, success goals, health goals, but don't let the goals have you. Wrapped up that you're willing to do anything. And what Jim Rohn has said, that has been said one of the biggest quotes he's ever said to me. It really hit me when I was younger as I really started to get my life together. And he said, be careful of what you become in pursuit of what you want. And this happens to a lot of people in business, a lot of people in areas. They start doing things and compromising themselves in any which way, no matter with their health. They start becoming extremely obese with heart disease because they're trying to hit a goal with business and they're eating fast food every night. They're not getting any sleep and they're not taking any supplements. And all of a sudden, they're in their 40s. Gosh, I'm a multimillionaire. I'm so successful. I haven't seen my kids in 10 years, really. I'm having heart disease problems. I'm having diabetic problems now. Well, you hit all your goals. You got this big company. You got the big cars. You got the big maintenance. You got the big house. But what is it? Be careful what you become in pursuit of what you want.
You know, all money does is make you more of what you already are. If you're inclined to drink, you can become a real alcoholic.
Oh, yeah, you see that.
Yeah.
I've seen that with guys that I know that I don't associate with. They get really, really wealthy, really, really big, multiple companies, diverse everywhere. Every time you see them, they're constantly half drunk. And you're like, Was that really worth it?
Be careful of what you become in pursuit of what you want. And, you know, and it's so true because a lot of times you have goals that you think are so important. You know, what is it? Nothing succeeds like excess. What is that term?
Nothing exceeds like excess.
Well, no. You know, and so you want to want to.
It is.
And so what happens is you start to want to buy this and buy that and buy this and buy that. And pretty soon you start to realize that the stuff owns you and you don't own the stuff.
That's right. You still got to maintain it.
God doesn't care if you have stuff. He's the one that owns you.
That's exactly right.
And see, that's the thing you've got to understand. When you, same thing with your body. You start thinking, well, I can do whatever I want to do now. I'm wealthy. Well, yeah, you probably can. It's from a financial standpoint, but you start eating junk all the time. You start drinking wine all the time. You start drinking alcohol all the time. You start doing drugs all the time. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost
you
your life.
Just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Health is no procure of money. It doesn't care.
But remember, if 10% of the people in the United States right now are genetically predisposed to become alcoholics if they drink. Yeah. If your mother has a problem with alcohol, your dad has a problem with alcohol, you got brothers or sisters with alcohol problems, or uncles or aunts have alcohol problems, or grandparents with alcohol problems, we all do. You need to avoid the alcohol.
Well, and what also, too, we've looked at, and I've had a lot of customers that I've talked to about this, is it's all, a lot of times it comes down to blood sugar and processing of sugar. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you can take products like cinnamon extract. This has been just multiple times I've had people tell me this, and it helps out with alcohol cravings because it gets the blood sugar under control and controls insulin. So very important to start looking at the root cause of things, glucose metabolism support. A lot of stuff we're going to have sale this week and coming in next week for the New Year's. Check it out on the website, healthmasters.com. Check out the best sellers, whether you want to grab the GHI 3-pack special for fasting, you want to get on the basically body fat burning stack for New Year's. Let us know what you need. Emails, calls, or grab it on the website. We've got everything here for y'all. Healthmasters.com. Have an awesome night. Great weekend. We'll talk to you on this show.
Hey, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this whole year that we have starting right now. And remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And always remember, think about God. Think about these three questions. What am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? Thank you for your letters. Thank you for contacting me at ted.brower@yahoo.com. And please just remember, don't send me an email that's 40 pages long and expect me to answer 500 questions. I simply can't do it.
Keep it simple. We got your back.
thanks for praying for us. Thanks for supporting us. And thanks for being here and listening to us. Without you, we couldn't be here. We couldn't do what we